No, fue mal. No. Good evening, everyone.
An echo.
Try that again. Good evening, everyone.
No, it's over here this time.
Please check that.
They're 10 minutes. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone here to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make during the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote.
All right. I declare another snap notice of motion with Mary Frank Harbour. I'll leave.
Councillor Brennan.
And Chair, I've got a similar conflict of interest on point 17.
Thank you. Before we start, I've been informed that there is an emergency motion has been sent in. I will hear it at the end of tonight's proceedings. I just have a few quick remarks on Chairperson's business. I just want to congratulate again all the recipients of this year's Chairperson's Civic Awards. A fantastic night celebrating ordinary people doing extraordinary things across our whole district. Among those receiving awards, traffic control attendants, Irish dancers bringing world championship accolades, to people doing litter picks for the betterment of their communities. It was a brilliant night which would not have been made possible without the fantastic work done by Sheila, Sarah, Patricia and others. A massive thank you to them all. Item one. Apologies.
Chair, we only have apologies from Justine Kelly.
Thank you, Sarah. Item two, declarations of interest. Item three, the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 4th of September 2023. Could I have a proposer and seconder for that item, please? Sorry. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, sorry, 6. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrew, or Hannah Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Andrews. There's a question from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to the motion that we tabled at our previous meeting in relation to the Ballinahinch bypass, I'm just wondering at this stage, has there been any replies to the points that were raised at that night's meeting and the actions that would be taken? Thank you, Chair.
Chair, there hasn't been any correspondence received in response yet. Item 5, the minutes of the special council meeting held on... Item 4, minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of September 2023. And we'll just go through them page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19, and page 20. But I have a proposer and seconder, please.
Councillor Devon.
Proposed Councillor Devon, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising? Councillor Andrews.
Oh, thanks very much, Chair. Me again, in relation to the notice of motion, reduction of minimum voting age, I wonder, has any response come back from the parties regarding the correspondence that was sent? Thank you.
Chair, there hasn't been anything received as yet, but any responses would be attached to the agendas for information for councillors.
Thanks, Marie. Thanks, Chair.
Item 5 is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 29th of August. We'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3 and page 4. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Seconded by Councillor Kearns. Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? Item 6 is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration Tourism Committee meeting held on the 11th of September. We'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Galbraith. Any matters arising? Item 7, minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resource Committee meeting held on the 14th of September 2023. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11 and page 12. Could I have a proposer and seconder? Proposed by Councillor McAvoy. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Sorry, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Item 7 there, the SPNR, I think it was item 17. Regarding Mourne Gateway, it wouldn't be one for sort of making points like this really at council, but on this occasion I sort of feel that I must, given the sort of the genesis of the motion was from a motion that I raised regarding the issue. It's just, to me, it's not very clear from the minutes as to the course of action being taken on sort of two matters. Mention is made to revisit and undertake a robust consultation with residents. And I think this needs to be followed through, certainly with a two-way process. And secondly, there is the development of alternatives, which seems to have been left off the noting for noting side of this paper. So I suppose, Chair, really, just I propose that the stakeholder engagement should include a facilitated two-way consultation with residents in a robust manner. And that, secondly, an agenda item concerning the development of alternatives should be included at the forthcoming Mourne Gateway project. So I'd formally make them proposals, Chair.
Mr. Mann.
Thanks, Chair. The agenda item, I will include the alternative proposals for alternatives to the agenda for this coming programme board meeting this Friday. And the stakeholder engagement strategy will also be presented as an agenda item at the meeting on Friday.
Thank you, Chair. And that will include a two-way process. I understand that certainly it is going for the agenda, but I mean, it really is very important that is a two-way process, Chair, rather than a sort of a drop your comments in the box.
A draft communications and stakeholder engagement strategy will be presented to the board for their acceptance on Friday, and it is an agenda item on the current agenda for the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Item 8, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 18th of September 2023. Pages for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Gilbreth, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? Item 9, the minutes of the Sustainability and Environmental Committee meeting held on the 19th of September 2023. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor McAvoy. Councillor Kern, seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Any matter arising? And then the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 21st of September 2023. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. But we have a proposed and seconder proposed by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Bowsey. Any matters arising? Item number 11 is the planning section, and we would have no matters, no issues.
We need a proposal and second.
Okay. Item number 12 is correspondence, is the response from the Department of Education. Read the notice of motion on the back to school costs. But I have a proposer and seconder to note. Proposed by Councillor McAvoy, and you have a comment, Councillor McAvoy?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Look, just really has come off the back of my notice of motion. And I welcome the response from the Department of Education and welcome that all the schools have been written to, urging them to consider cost mitigations for parents. I also see that from the letter, you know, the Minister of Education previously suggested they should consider primary legislation to enable statutory guidance with an emphasis on affordability. And those proposals are being drafted and how the policy can change and are currently at advanced stages. But again, it falls on nothing can progress without a sitting executive, which is disappointing. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAvoy, and that was seconded by Councillor Truesdale. Now we're on to our notice of motion. Item 13 is a notice of motion received from Councillor Hanlon. If Councillor Hanlon, this motion will be heard at Council.
Thanks, Chair. So, notice of motion. This Council commends the efforts of World Menopause Day on the 18th of October for raising awareness of the challenges faced by menopausal women, notes the limited provision of NHS menopause services and the difficulty facing women accessing them across the North. Further notes that women from rural or border communities often face greater challenges in accessing GP services or reliable public transport due to geographical isolation, and therefore their experience of menopause can be particularly acute. understands that perimenopausal and menopausal women are the fastest growing demographic in the workforce, commends the introduction last year of the Civil Service Menopause Policy, which aims to ensure those experiencing menopause in the civil service workforce are supported to cope with its challenges, and further commends the education campaign by the Newry Morning Down District Council to educate all staff and inform them of these issues. Welcomes the Let's Talk Menopause initiative, which has been rolled out by this council health and wellbeing group, and call on the council to continue its good work in relation to menopause awareness and to continue to identify new initiatives in line with best practice elsewhere in order to support perimenopausal and menopausal women. And Councillor Kate Murphy will be seconding my motion. So just speaking to the motion, there must be greater awareness of the challenges facing women experiencing menopause, particularly in the workplace, to ensure they're supported. The stigma and lack of awareness of the challenges faced by women going through the menopause needs to end. This affects all women at some point in their lives, and they should be getting the support they're entitled to. We need to bring men into the conversation and raise awareness of what their female colleagues may be going through. Women during menopause can find themselves physically, psychologically and emotionally drained, making it harder for them to meet the demands of the workplace. It's vital women receive the healthcare they need and support in work during menopause. For too long, women and young girls have experienced barriers to receiving the level of healthcare they deserve, particularly in rural areas like South Down, where services are practically being stripped away. We need a dedicated health strategy for women and girls to improve their access to healthcare, ensure a system that listens to their voices and boosts their health outcomes. We must focus on understanding the changing healthcare needs of women through their lifetime. In the past, menopause was seen as a threshold of old age. Thankfully, now it's more often seen as the beginning of a new term in a woman's life. So I would ask that the Council write to the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Health, asking if there are plans for a dedicated women's health strategy, and I hope to see it is made a priority for the Department. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Murphy, you're to second Councillor Hanlon's motion.
Thank you.
Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm more than happy to speak of this motion. As a party, we'll absolutely be supporting it. I think, you know, you've covered most of the points I was really going to raise. You know, we know that our healthcare system is broken and women are affected the most. My party colleague, Sinead McLaughlin, MLA, recently presented a survey to the Department of Health calling for the Women's Healthcare Strategy that Una has mentioned there. We're the only part of these islands not to have one. And when we couple that with our atrocious waiting list times, it makes for a really, really frightening outlook. I know that Sinead's survey had over 500 respondents, and the main healthcare issues listed were mental health, gynae problems and menopause, as Una has alluded to. There has to be support out there. Without supporting women at what can be a really horrendous time in their lives, marriages can break down, families fall apart and careers can crumble. This is how serious the menopause can be for some women if they don't receive the appropriate treatment or support. I think speaking out on this issue is so important. When I think back to I'm in council now nearly 10 years, but 10 to 15 years ago, I probably would have been embarrassed to speak about some women's issues, which is just madness. You know, we all need to normalise this type of conversation. It's simply like a healthcare issue, like many others, and shouldn't only be discussed in a whisper. And again, I think at the end of the motion there, Una, you'd mentioned, are you going to add that in as a call to call for the Women's Healthcare Strategy? Because I was going to propose that as an amendment, but I'm happy if that's already included in the motion itself. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, it wasn't on the original motion, but I have it in my notes there. Okay. Just,
yeah, it's such a big issue. I really appreciate that, but you've absolutely got our support. Thanks for raising these issues. And thank you, Chair.
Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Councillor Hanlon, for this very relevant motion. I'd also like to take the opportunity to draw attention to the very successful menopause cafes set up by social workers within the Down GP multidisciplinary teams running in towns across the South Eastern Health Council District, as well as initiatives run by places like The Well, a community wellness hub in Kilkeel, and awareness talks by Mourne Matters in the Nautical Centre in Kilkeel as well. Women's health needs to be treated as more of a priority in Northern Ireland, and that's why the Alliance Party is advocating for a women's health strategy, which I think we're all on board with. This would also include measures to implement specialist menopause clinics. Of course, this is just one more needed measure which will help thousands of women and their families, and Councillor Devlin outlined just how much this does affect not just the women but the whole family. But this measure will have to sit and stagnate at the minute due to no sitting executive. Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks to Councillor Hanlon for bringing forward this very important motion to the Chamber tonight. Very happy to support it in its full content. I know that my own party in recent manifesto commitments were keen that Northern Ireland plays a leading role in UK Menopause Task Force to strengthen and coordination and raise awareness of the issue and its impact across youth, particularly under the shared aim of improving care and support for women who are experiencing the menopause. And I also welcome the fact, you know, based on the information provided in the motion, obviously, that our own council is taking forward initiatives in addressing the issue and offering support and raising awareness as well on the issue. So very happy to support it, and I'm sure that'll be the case for everybody in the chamber tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Una, thank you very much for bringing that forward. This is an issue that does that impacts nearly on every woman that comes a certain age. Support needs to be there. The employers need to be sympathetic so that they, I know the Anne Forsyth, our MLA in South Down, has led our party towards this type of issue. So the social housing, she's actually set up a forum down at Stormont there to deal with a lot of this type of issues. So very much thank you, Una. You've hit all the points. There's no point in me repeating them again. So well done.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, this is a very important issue, and I think that men need a lot of education on it, because can bring about changes in the way that women react, and it's hard to, sometimes for a man to understand that, and you know, you do go into pretty bad form at times, and so I think as well, you know, think about the youth, it's also important that men are told, you know, the ins and outs of this and how it affects them, how you get, you know, you do get over it through time. That certainly is a very, very important thing. Thank you.
Well, thanks everybody for all the support this evening, and I think all the areas have been covered there, so appreciate the motion passing. Thank you.
Is everybody in agreement?
Yep.
Okay. Item 14 is a notice of motion, the annual financial call for provision of life-saving equipment. This motion is going to be directed to SPNR. I'd ask Councillor Sharvin if he would read his motion and let us know who's going to be seconding it, please.
Yep, Chair, thank you. Nuri Gordon and Down Council is fully committed to supporting our sports clubs and community groups in providing life-saving equipment such as defibrillators and access to CPR. Yeah? Oh, it was on. Keeps going on. Right. Hopefully you can hear me. Nuri Gordon and Down Council is fully committed to... I feel very flattered.
So, can I just ask that we take a 5 minute, because there's something strange going on with our network, and pick up one of those, if I can propose our sector. Just take 5 minutes to see what's going on with the network. Okay, 5 minutes. Let's tweet back out what's happening.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Chair, the Nuri Gordon and Down Council is fully committed to supporting our sports clubs and community groups in providing life-saving equipment such as defibrillators and access to CPR training courses. This council will establish an annual financial call which can be used for purchasing a defibrillator, securing CPR training or replacing AED pads. And Chair, Councillor David Taylor will second it.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Item 15 is a notice of motion, the Education Authority Transport and Availability of Places for Children with Additional Needs. The notice of motion has come from Councillor Galbraith and will be heard at full council.
Thanks, Chair. This is seconded by Councillor Andrews. So it is. This council is fully supportive of children and young people having access to education they are entitled to. This council will seek answers from the Education Authority in relation to the yearly confusion, distress and upset caused as a result of the failure to provide transport on time to those who are entitled to it. Furthermore, the council notes with concern and seeks assurance from the Education Authority in relation to the lack of places available to those children with additional needs. So again this year, the Education Authority had warned about significant shortfalls in places for pupils in special schools across the north of Ireland. It comes after the EA committee was told there is a need for more than 850 additional places in special schools last year. Again this year, principals of mainstream primary schools had been asked if they can open specialist learning support units to admit pupils with severe learning difficulties. Dr. Graham Galt of the National Association of Head Teachers is on record having said, the request comes at the last moment when the pertinent issues have been widely known for a long time. He said the EA had been put in an impossible situation by the decisions of the Permanent Secretary, the policies of austerity and the failure of the Stormont Executive. This is frankly appalling that the very significant and life-defining decisions for vulnerable children are being made on the criteria of cost rather than accordance to their needs. It has been known for quite some time that there has been a projected increase in children with statements of special educational needs. Capacity meetings between the EA and special schools were completed for September 23 intake and showed there would be a significant shortfall in placements available in our special schools. The EA, along with the CCMS and the education support bodies, were working intensively to ensure there was appropriate provisions in place for September 23. Once again, they have proven to be unsuccessful. A quote from one of my constituents has said, "The EA is in a mess at the moment. I have a grandson who has autism and should be starting school. He is now trapped at home, 4.5 years old, frustrated, receiving no primary schooling and little support because the EA have failed to get him placed. They did offer a placement in school, 12 miles from the home address, now being refitted, but that won't be ready until January at the earliest. The school principal is offering a short session each week, which is likely to be half an hour. Also, last year, almost 300 pupils were left without school transport after taxis that had been tendered by the EA did not show up. Over 3,500 pupils, most of which have special needs, are brought to and from school by EA-provided taxis. The EA claimed last year that securing taxis for school transport had become increasingly more difficult. I wonder, with EA knowing this information from this time last year and previous years, and that this has been an ongoing issue, why hasn't the EA put appropriate plans in place well before this September? Tonight, I'm asking that this council is fully supportive of children and young people having access to transport and an education they're entitled to. Thank you.
Sorry for interrupting your notice of motion, but it appears that some people are still in the old meeting on their computers. Can we ask you to leave the old meeting and join on the new meeting? Because I think that's what's causing the interference. So if you're on the old meeting, you need to go back in through a new invitation that was issued by Sarah.
No, I got sorted out there, Chair. Thank you. I know.
Apologies, everyone. We're just trying to... So the link that you should be using is the link. The link sent to 1837, and that's the link you should be using to access the meeting.
Marie, if it helps, it says new at the top of the Teams thing in case anybody's not sure.
and doesn't say and says council meeting you at the top of the invite. Can everybody also make sure that they have their speakers muted when they're in the chamber, please?
Has
everybody muted their microphones and their speakers, please? Okay, apologies about that, Councillor Gilbreath. We are good to go again. Thank you. Mine's gone to them. So it's going to be seconded by Councillor Andrews, and you're going to speak to the motion, Councillor Andrews.
I'm indeed, Chair. Thanks very much. I would like to commend my colleague, Councillor Conor Galbraith, for bringing this motion forward and endorse fully what he has said in his remarks. I'm fully supportive of the motion that highlights concerns around the stress and worry that goes along with it in relation to what happens on a yearly basis and other times as well. Overall, support the call to seek assurances from the Education Authority to the lack of places available to those who need it most. So I'm happy to second, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Galbraith, for bringing this motion. It's a very worthy motion and we're happy to support. I'd just like to say that sadly none of this is any surprise to me because I was a teacher in EA office for over 20 years in what we call fringe education. That was special needs, children with additional needs, children who came to Northern Ireland from other countries and travellers. What absolutely shocks me to my core is the mess that parents and children are faced with year in and year out. And the reason is very simple. These fringe areas are low-hanging fruit. They are always the first to be cut and they are always the collateral damage. In 2020, a NICE paper found a consistent lack of transparency in the additional needs system, specifically the identification of relevant provision for children with additional needs. Alliance has long called for a root and branch review of additional needs. Numbers of pupils without a school place and or suitable transport is a failure of area planning on the part of the Department of Education and the EA, as well as, at the minute, lack of a minister at the helm. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to Councillor Galbraith for bringing forward the motion tonight. Unfortunately, these issues aren't a new occurrence, and I think as other representatives have said, it doesn't appear to be something that the Education Authority seem to be learning from and trying to bring forward measures to address the problems that are encountered year on year. I know myself even dealing with a number of consistency cases relevant to this, the particular issues that are raised in the motion. There's been frustrations in terms of even dealing with the Education Authority in terms of trying to get resolutions, and this Whilst it's frustrating for me as an elected representative and trying to get those concerns addressed, it's more so for the families and the child concerned and the distress that it causes to them, and that's the most important thing, that their, you know, their issues are addressed in the most appropriate and swift way. So I really hope the Education Authority would take heed of what we're obviously, you know, bringing forward here tonight in terms of what's included in the motion by Councillor Galbraith. I would be concerned that it won't be the case, because, as I say, this isn't a new issue on year on year. They don't seem to learn from it. But let's hope we can do that, and let's hope we do have an executive at some point as well, that we can have a minister in place to try and, you know, take some leadership on an issue like this. So thanks, Councillor Galbraith.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Brass, for taking the motion. I would note that I think some of the problems that are coming along on this are because a lot of the children are not actually getting statemented on time. So they're coming in very, very late. And then the EA are faced with the backlog of requests for transport. I would be dealing with the EA quite a lot. And I have to say the staff themselves are extremely good, only they're just faced with extreme pressures. So I suppose in the vein of that there, like, could we put in an addition to the motion to ask how the EA are going to address the backlog of educational statements after the yearly annual review, given that that may sort of get to the point of addressing the fact that children are coming so late looking for transport? Is that acceptable? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Bowsey.
We just to say that we're happy to lend our support to this motion. It's certainly an issue that happens every year. I know when it comes to taxis, there's a supply issue there with contracts, and that causes competition. And in fairness to the EA, any time I've raised issues, they've always been very good at sourcing taxi drivers at short notice. So they are trying their best. I know when it comes to TransLink, one of the issues is often TransLink would say that they're starting their bus schedule back, say, on the 1st of September, and schools might start a week before that, knowing that. And TransLink aren't obviously going to put on a full schedule of buses when most schools aren't back yet. So, support the motion, but just noting that, as others have, there's a lot of complexities that EA have to face.
Thank you, Councillor Bowsey. Councillor Galbraith, if you'd just like to sum up.
Thanks for the support, everyone. I just haven't been having the same sort of response, I suppose, from the EA. I sent numerous emails over the last 4 weeks, and they're reluctant to come back to me, so I'm not having the same experience, unfortunately, but hopefully after tonight's motion passing, we will start getting some answers. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Galbraith. Is everyone in agreement? Move on to item 18, a notice of motion on clean indoor air. This motion will be deferred to Sustainability and Environment Committee. If Councillor Truesdale could read her motion and let us know who's going to be seconded, please.
Thank you, Chair. The motion will be seconded by Councillor McMurray. Having learned the importance of ventilation and clean indoor air for health and productivity during COVID, and seeking to take all reasonable steps to enable use of all council facilities by all citizens, including the most vulnerable, and so further inclusion, and seeking to care for the health and wellbeing of council employees, this council will commit to signing and implementing the COVID safety pledge, to report on steps already taken to prioritise clean indoor air in Newry, Moore and Down, Downshire and Newry sites, and other council-owned and occupied premises, and on what further or additional steps could be taken to improve indoor air quality and information about indoor air quality for employees and service users, and to develop and promote advice that can be followed to provide clean indoor air at events supported by this council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Item 17 is a notice of motion, the foul smell from Warnpoint Port. The motion's been received from Councillor Gibbons and will be heard at full council.
Thank you, Chair. This council is concerned about the ongoing foul smell emanating from Warnpoint Port.
The impact this is having on the residents' quality of life and the potential risks it poses to public health. Whilst we accept the steps are being taken to address the smell, many questions and concerns still remain about how it came about and how much longer it will last. Council will write formally to Warmpoint Port expressing these concerns and seeking clarity on what will be done to ensure that this issue is swiftly resolved and will not happen again. We also call on the Council's Environmental Health Department to work with Warmpoint Port and other relevant stakeholders, including NIEA, to compile a comprehensive public report that will be brought back to Council on how this happened and how it will be resolved so it does not happen again. And Chair, it is seconded by Councillor Charles Kennelly.
Sorry, thank you, Councillor Gibbons. Councillor Kelly, you wish to make a comment?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just want to say we're very supportive of this motion tonight from Councillor Gibbons and Councillor Tinley as well. The smell in Warmpoint Harbour has been a major issue for residents, particularly over the summer months, as far as I know. I'm very aware my colleague Patrick Brown has been working alongside the two councillors in Warmpoint, as well as with the Harbour Authority, Regen, NIEA and Environmental Health. And there has been two very well public, very well attended public events that were organised by residents and environmental groups who have done a really great job in bringing this issue to elected representatives. Chair, this is a long-term issue here in Warmpoint and it's been affecting residents for quite a long time, and I'm very happy to support the motion tonight to see this resolved, but also to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again. So thank you very much, Chair.
Sorry, Councillor Tinley, you were to second the motion. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yeah, say a few words, Chair. Help me enough for me to come in now?
Yep.
All right, well, I suppose, first off, I want to thank my colleague Mark for bringing this forward. And it's obviously it stems from a very well attended public meeting in Warmpoint this night 2 weeks ago. I suppose, in a nutshell, Chairperson, the residents don't feel that they're getting full transparency and full openness from the Harbour Authority as a corporate body. And there's bits and pieces of information coming out, and, you know, the Harbour Authority are trying to liaise with elected members on an individual basis, and are saying that they will engage individual residents with any concerns they wish to bring to them. But I think that, pardon the pun, involving the port, but that ship has sailed long ago. So it's a transparency and an openness issue here. And when the people feel that they're not being listened to, and the people feel that their concerns are not being addressed, and they're very genuine concerns and fears, particularly for the people down the Newry Street and the Fairmont Gardens area, when they feel they're not being listened to, and in that void or that vacuum of information, then you see all sorts of rumours start to spread and be generated. So a bit of openness, a bit of transparency, a bit of truth. And I mean, like, if the residents are coming to us as councillors to ask our corporate body of council to try and get those answers for them, I think that is certainly progress. So thanks to Mark for bringing it, fully supportive. And I wish to second it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And again, support the motion coming forward, and believe that, you know, it would be an unacceptable situation if we had to recurrence of this issue going forward. I attended a meeting at the Harbour of the liaison group set up for elected members on the Harbour. And this was attended by, obviously, the Harbour Authority and Regen. And I listened to carefully what they were doing to solve the problem. And actually, this is the storage area. And must say that I'm satisfied at this stage that remedial measures were being rolled out. and put in place. And experts in the environmental sector have been brought in as well to continue working on a long-term solution to this. I've also spoken to our own Council of Environmental Department, who are already engaged in this, and they're trying to build up, more information regarding to the issue and the long-term solution to it. And they actually are appealing through us, like the members, for householders that have been affected to contact them so that they can actually measure the extent and impact on the houses in the area. So I do believe there is good work going on at the moment, and the NIEA are currently, they're quite satisfied as what's going on at the moment in terms of their remit when they issue a license, which is to include the responsibility in the remit for noxious smells and any pests, and also the length of time of storage. So I think it's regrettable, obviously, that it happened, and Warren Point residents and visitors had to suffer that periodically. But I do think that things hopefully are moving forward in the right way, and certainly I support the motion going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Helen.
Sure. Yeah, listen, I agree totally with the comments by most people here tonight. There has been a serious issue regarding the harbour in the last couple of months, going way back into maybe late July. The Harbour Authority failed to communicate with the local community from the very outset. In fact, they've only done it lately. And myself and Sinead Ennis, MLA, when we met them, told them that the town had received no correspondence from them whatsoever. They seemed to be hoping that the issue would go away, and that was their way of dealing with it. We also met with Regen as well on the same date and told them the same. There was examples of the council strike being given as to the reason why the smell was emanating from the docks, because of build-up of waste and how long it was there, which I have to say at the meeting with them, we didn't accept. They also then tried to put the blame on to NI water holding tanks and the storage facility on the Mound Road, which again we told them we didn't accept either, that the smell, as late as the day prior to us going meeting with them, we could tell them that residents had been in contact with us and had told us clearly that the smell was still there. They need to be more transparent in how they deal with this. Obviously, they failed at this on this occasion, but going forward, it has to improve greatly. What I would say is the motion before us, while I can accept the first three paragraphs, I don't think it goes far enough. It actually is a bit toothless. It actually really and truly is just doing what every political representative should have been doing up to this date, which was engaging with Regen, engaging with the Harbour Authority, engaging with the NIEA, and engaging with our council environmental health department. A lot of people shouting about this issue have failed to do any of that there and have not done anything other than talk about it or shout about it. So what I'm proposing as an amendment is that from will not happen again, that we add in furthermore, council will also invite senior officials from Warren Point Harbour Authority, Regen, our own Environmental Health Department, and NIEA to present to a special council meeting on this ongoing situation. We also call an NIEA as the licensing authority to complete a comprehensive public report that will be brought back to council on this matter. And I'm putting that forward as an amendment, Chair.
Councillor Gibbons, would you accept the amendment?
Yes, Chair, yep, that is no problem. I'll accept that, yep, yep.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Happy to support the motion. I know there's been a lot of concern raised publicly in recent weeks over this issue, and it's obviously been having a very negative impact on the quality of life enjoyed by residents in Warren Point. Obviously, the Crotleaf councillors would be more, you know, in tune in terms of all the detail of it, but it's clear that it has been a very big issue in the area. I welcome the fact that there appears to be some measures been taken to address the concerns that there are at this moment in time, but obviously it's important that that's followed through to make sure that this doesn't happen on a continued basis. So obviously, you know, I think it is important that we as a council engage with the Warren Point Port Authority and indeed all the other relevant parties involved in this issue. So happy to support it, and obviously the most amendment that's been proposed by Mickey as well. So yeah, sorry, heads well. Yeah. What's that? All right, Mickey. Anyway. So happy to support it anyway, okay? Thank you.
Councillor Gibbons, if you'd like to come in and sum up, please.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I'm delighted with the support of the Chamber tonight. Absolutely delighted with that. And it's just, at the end of the day, it all boils down to the residents and the people of Warren Point that keep us in the job. And I've had more complaints about this issue than any other as a councillor, tenfold. So, look, I'm delighted. Thank you very much for all your support, guys. I'll just show you just an example of what I would want happening down the line regarding this issue, regarding the smell, would be there's going to be a fantastic event coming now on Halloween in Warren Point with the fireworks display. One thing we don't want or have that anxiety hanging over us is that this smell is going to come back when we have thousands of people in Warren Point. So this is nearly like a new thing that we have to be anxious about, and the people of Warren Point certainly don't deserve that. So hopefully this motion will bring out a bit of transparency. Thank you very much, Councillor Rowan, for that amendment. It was excellent. And I hope we get some good, solid, transparent results going forward. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Councillor Tilney. Gibbons, your comments have been noted. Moving on, item 18 is a notice of motion on Laidwick. The motion has come from Councillor Lewis. I will ask Councillor Lewis to read his motion, let us know who seconded it, and it will be deferred to Equality and Good Relations.
Thank you, Chair. So it's Councillor Burke-Bisey is going to second this, and the motion reads that this council recognises and supports the Ulster Scots and immunity of Nearing Morn and Down. The Ulster Scots language is widely used by everyone from all factions in the community across Nearing Morn and Down, and for a number of years now as part of the celebration promotion of the Ulster Scots lead, our language, a special week has been set aside in the calendar where events and activities take place and bring the language to the people, with events taking place between the 20th and the 25th of November. Laidwick also aims to help to dispel some of the myths about the Ulster Scots language that it is not the preference of one community or another, but is spoken by people from all diverse backgrounds. And rather than being a recently made up language, it has been around for centuries. Many years the language has suffered from neglect by public services. Laidwick is an opportunity for councils across NI, community organisations and corporate body, statutory agencies, schools and youth organisations to help improve better understanding of the Ulster Scots language and its shared history and heritage across NI. Many councils are now directly involved in putting together events or activities to celebrate Laidwick, and working with groups to deliver activities, events and celebrations. Indeed, the Derry City and Stratyrbank Council this year has opened a full call for groups to apply to facilitate the week. Nearing Morn and Down Council will recognise and commit resources to Laidwick for the
benefit and support of those groups, across our district. Council commit to lead on a community themed event for this year's celebrations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Item 19 is a notice of motion, the review of waste collection services. The motions come from Councillor Jackson. Councillor Jackson reads the motion, lets me know who's seconded, and this motion will be deferred to Sustainability and Environment.
Thank you, Chair. Notice of motion review of waste collection service, seconded by Councillor Glenn Hanna. This council commits to undertake a full cost benefit analysis of the waste collection service for the entire district, including benchmarking total cost of service delivery against private sector providers. This review should include analysis of the volume of missed bins and broken bins reported both across the entire district and by DEA. This council is committed to delivering basic council services efficiently and cost effectively. Every repair should be delivered a quality service. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Item 20 is a notice of motion on cost of living. The notice of motion has been received from Councillor Kate Murphy. This motion will be heard at Council.
Thanks, Chair. Motion that this Council notes with concern that the ongoing cost of living crisis and British government imposed cuts is exacerbating poverty and financial pain on people in the community. Believes the targeting objective need is fundamental to tackling poverty and inequality. Further believes what is required is a living wage economy and a fair social security system that targets resources where they are most needed and ensures people have a minimum essential standard of living. Recognises that the current social security system, particularly universal credit, is not fit for purpose, not properly funded and is failing people. Further recognises that those who rely on universal credit are incredibly vulnerable to change in circumstances, often beyond their control, such as loss of employment, illness, increasing caring responsibilities and family breakdown. Endorses the Guarantee Our Essentials campaign, which seeks to ensure everyone can afford the essentials in hard times, and calls on the British Government to introduce an essentials guarantee, which would ensure at a minimum universal credit. Legacy benefits would protect people from going without essentials. And sorry, just to note, firstly, I want to commend the work of the Joseph Rowntree Foundation and the Trussell Trust in leading this campaign. The campaign aims to embed within the social security system the principle that as a minimum standard allowance of universal credit, personal allowance of legacy benefits should protect people from going without essentials. The social security system is supposed to act as a safety net when people lose their jobs, find themselves unable to work, or when their income is too low or their hours undependable. The reality, however, is that years of Tory austerity, cuts and freezes to benefits, wages, not keeping pace with inflation, along with soaring price of food, fuel, energy and housing cost, has left many people unable to meet their most basic needs. While the cost of living crisis has stretched most people's households' finances, there can be no doubt that those who have the least have been disproportionately impacted. When individuals and families have insecure or insufficient income to meet their basic needs, then they have little or no resilience to income shock, unexpected bills or price increases. This can impact on mental and physical health, educational outcomes, employment opportunities, and can drive people into destitution and or debt, often at high cost. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation has stated that inadequate social security is the main driver of food bank need. We have seen one-off cost of living payments introduced at certain points for many people, and while helpful in the short term, this is not the solution. Such payments do not provide people with the certainty they need when trying to make ends meet on a weekly basis. Nor do the well-documented problems within universal credit, such as the five-week wait for the first payment, the policy decision to limit support to two children in a family, and the challenging rules around assessment periods for people with fluctuating hours and wages. People deserve to be part of a living wage economy, which renders additional financial support unnecessary. And people who are unable to work deserve a fair social security system that ensures, as a minimum, their essential needs are met. This is key to addressing poverty and achieving a more equal society. And I think as a council, we can send a very positive message to those who are struggling in our communities and those who face a very tough winter ahead by endorsing this campaign and highlighting the very real challenges facing ordinary families. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Who's second?
Sorry, I'll be seconded by Councillor Mathers.
Councillor Mathers, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Thank you, Chair. The Alliance Group wholeheartedly supports this motion, recognising that in the absence of Stormont, we're more reliant than ever on the Secretary of State and the Westminster Government to take proactive measures for the welfare of all our citizens. As we navigate these challenging times, it is crucial that the Westminster Government steps up its efforts and do more to protect the vulnerable and uphold the values of compassion and inclusivity that define our society, trusting that they will work diligently to provide this assistance and support our citizens that require.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Surgener. Councillor Finn?
Firstly, just to say, I think everybody's aware that the cost of living crisis has had a profound and really worrying impact on families all across the North, so I'm really pleased to see that this motion is coming before the Council this evening. A couple of weeks ago, I was actually fortunate enough to meet with some of the teams from the Trussell Trust at the launch of their Guaranteed Essentials billboard campaign, and I really can't say how amazing they are and what an incredible job they do to support all of the families. They published a report in June, and quite shockingly, it's shown that 16% of people across Northern Ireland have at some stage experienced food insecurity, and 7% have used some form of food aid, be that from Trussell Trust Food Network or the wider ecosystem of food support. Despite, though, the fact that those numbers are so high, they only represent a minority of the people who we see within our communities going hungry, which I think is just an absolute disgrace. As we move into the winter, I think we see the potential that these issues can be exacerbated. And it was over the weekend, actually, that I had noted the Consumer Council's latest figures about the price of home heating oil within this council district are actually the highest across the north. So I wondered if it would be possible, just after the first sentence of the motion, to add a small amendment which just says, expresses concern that this council area pays the highest amounts for home heating oil across Northern Ireland, following figures that were recently released by the Consumer Council, just if that could be added on, because I think coming into the winter it is concerning that the home heating oil prices are as expensive as they are within the district. Thank you.
Councillor Murphy, are you happy to accept the amendment?
Yes, Chair, that's fine.
Thank you. Councillor Hannah?
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the motion, sir. Quite honestly, the cost of living, there's nobody it hasn't impacted upon. I suppose the most vulnerable young families and those elderly there, it's universal, sir. It isn't. The problem now with keeping yourself warm, even over the winter time, is going to be challenging for so many. So on all this, we have, and the DUP will support the motion so well. And just to remember, Councillor Sturgener, that this is a Westminster issue, it's not a Northern Ireland issue, so it is in the same sense as he's trying to put it across, so we should watch what he's saying.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Happy to support the motion. It's clear that obviously the cost of living crisis is having a significant impact on the most vulnerable in society, and I think yesterday actually at my own church service and our harvest service yesterday, my church along with a few others in Uri recently opened a food bank, and it was, you know, the minister was advising yesterday they've helped over 300 families so far in that area, so that gives you some outline as to how serious the impact is on people across our local area and indeed across the rest of Northern Ireland. So, you know, the fact that people are having to seek that support, you know, is telling in itself. So any measures obviously that can help, you know, guarantee that people have a reasonable standard of living at the very least, you know, we need to support that. So happy to support the motion and the amendment also. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Murphy, would you like to sum up?
I know, just grateful for the support for the motion. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Councillor Moore. Is everyone in agreement?
Yep.
Okay. Item 21 is a notice of motion on sexual discrimination.
The motion has come from Councillor Howell. If Councillor Howell will read the motion, let me know who's seconded, and it will be deferred to Equality and Good Relations.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Geraldine Cairns will be seconding the motion. Sinn Féin propose that Newry Moreland Down District Council strongly condemns all forms of discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, advocating for policies that safeguard LGBTQ plus rights in housing, education, employment and healthcare, commits to enhancing awareness and understanding of LGBTQ plus issues among council members, staff and the wider community through education and sensitivity training, supports initiatives that provide safe spaces, counselling and support services for LGBTQ plus youth to combat bullying, harassment and mental health challenges, actively participates in local pride events to demonstrate the council's visible support for the LGBTQ plus community and identifies areas to display LGBTQ plus pride symbols in appropriate public spaces, seeks collaboration with local LGBTQ plus organisations and community groups to better comprehend their needs and explore joint projects that celebrate diversity and inclusivity. By adopting this motion, we reaffirm our council's dedication to promoting equality and inclusivity with the aim of nurturing a more cohesive community that values its diverse members. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Howell. Item 22 is a notice of motion on animal welfare. The notice of motion has been received from Councillor Kelly. Councillor Kelly, if you will read your motion, let us know who's going to second it, and it will be deferred to Sustainability and Environment Committee.
Thank you, Chair. My motion will be seconded by Councillor Truesdale. I just want to say before this motion, I'm aware of the animal welfare point that came up in the SPNR committee, and so I know that it's going to committee tonight, but and may be subject to amendment based on what response we get back from that. But I'll read out the motion in full tonight, as long as you're happy enough. So yeah, this council notes with great concern the announcement by DARA to cut the 1.25 million budget from the animal welfare in Northern Ireland to zero. This has the potential to adversely impact work being done by local government to meet its statutory requirements for non-farmed animals and risk causing avoidable harm and suffering to animals. The council will urgently write to DARA Permanent Secretary Katrina Godfrey expressing its total opposition to this decision and urging her department to reconsider this retrograde move. Furthermore, recognising the council's statutory responsibility and the importance of interagency and partnership to support animal welfare, council will establish an animal welfare forum. This forum will meet regularly and provide strategic direction to and oversight of officers involved in animal welfare and reporting back to the relevant committee. As well as animal welfare officers, it will seek representation from elected members, dog wardens, local kennelling providers, DARA, local animal shelters, charities and the PSNI. This council also commits to ensuring that, should this cut go ahead, it will commit the necessary budget to ensure its statutory responsibilities for animal welfare are met and no services are cut or curtailed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. An emergency motion has been forthcoming from Councillor Savage. In order to hear the motion, it is necessary to suspend standing orders for which a qualified majority vote is required, which is 80% of members present and voting. Everyone should have by now received the email.
Chair, just to clarify, we're only suspending standing order 16. We're trying to remember 4.
2, 2, 4.
Yeah, apologies, we should have had that. It's part of 16.
So if we can have a proposer and seconder, please.
Sorry.
It's a recorded vote.
Councillor Andrews?
4.
Councillor Bowsey?
4.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne?
4.
Councillor Campbell?
4.
Councillor Clark? Not in the chamber. Councillor Devlin?
4.
Councillor Enright?
4.
Councillor Finn?
4.
Councillor Finnegan? Councillor Gilbreath? Councillor Gibbons?
4.
Councillor Hanlon?
4.
Councillor Hannah? Councillor Hart, Councillor Howell,
for
Councillor Jackson, Councillor Kearns, Councillor Kelly, Councillor King, Councillor Larkin,
for
Councillor Lee Searchner, Councillor Lewis,
all for
Councillor McGuinness, Councillor Mathers, Councillor McAteer,
for
Councillor McAvoy,
for
Councillor McMurray,
for
Councillor O'Hare, Councillor Declan Murphy,
for
Councillor Murphy,
for
Councillor Selena Murphy, Councillor Quinn,
for
Councillor Riley is absent, Councillor Rice, Councillor Guan,
for
Councillor Savage,
for
Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Tinley,
for
Councillor Truesdale. Okay, so that's 39 for. That's a qualified majority.
100% qualified majority. Can I just double check that everybody at home can hear us?
Sure, my laptop's died. It's run out of power.
We're just having some microphone issues here in the chamber, folks, for those.
That's being proposed by Councillor McAteer and seconded by Councillor Galbraith to suspend standing orders. So if Councillor Savage would go ahead with his motion, please.
Yes, Chair, and thank you for accepting this at very short notice, and to the members for their 100% supporting it been heard tonight. Chair, read out the motion. The motion reads, Council rebukes the Southern Trust for its decision to permanently remove emergency general surgery from Daisy Hill Hospital, and for disregarding the overwhelming opposition contained within the Trust consultation, in which 94% of 11,000 plus respondents opposed such a decision. Council reaffirms its opposition to the withdrawal of emergency general surgery from Daisy Hill Hospital in accordance with the expressed views of the people, and agrees to write to Permanent Secretary at the Department of Health requesting that he intervenes to pause any decision on the permanent removal of emergency general surgery from Daisy Hill Hospital until the Trust's plans for the future of the hospital are presented and brought to public consultation. Council requests that the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health carries out a review of the consultation process that has led to the removal of emergency general surgery, a vital service for Daisy Hill, an acute hospital, without the consent of the public. Council praises and offers its full support to the frontline staff at Daisy Hill Hospital, who have demonstrated unparalleled professionalism and resilience in safeguarding the welfare of local people and patients of the district in the most difficult circumstances which resulted from the mismanagement of the Daisy Hill site by the Southern Trust. Council recognises and supports the need for the transformation of our health service to deliver better health outcomes for our patients, but agrees that any permanent decision on the future of emergency general surgery at Daisy Hill must not be finalised until after a long-term plan for the future of our acute hospital has been produced and consulted on as part of that transformation process. Chair, the decision by the Trust on Friday to permanently remove emergency general surgery from our acute Daisy Hill Hospital has been taken against the backdrop of a democratic deficit on two fronts. Firstly, it's a decision that flies in the face of the views of over 11,000 service users and patients across the district who overwhelmingly voiced their opposition to the removal of emergency general surgery from Daisy Hill. 94% of respondents voiced their opposition to this move, yet their views and the views of upwards of 10,000 people who took to the streets of Newry have been ignored. Secondly, it's a decision that has been taken at a time when we have no Northern Ireland executive and no local health minister in place to make such a seismic and impactful decision. Such a decision, taken in this manner, makes a mockery of the consultation process, which leaves citizens of this district feeling that there appears to be no such thing as a temporary removal of a service from Daisy Hill.
Again, the Trust are putting the cart before the horse and ramming through a permanent major cut to services at Daisy Hill before a full picture of the future plans for the hospital have been developed. Surely, the public would find it easier to accept this decision if it was part of a plan for the long-term future of our hospital. A plan that consolidates existing and new services at Daisy Hill long-term and gives patients and staff certainty. Councillors recognise the need to transform our services for better health outcomes, but I believe decisions like this one need to be made as part of the process which clearly states Daisy Hill's valued role in that delivery, in that service delivery and transformation. And that is why, Chair, I believe that this decision needs to be paused by the Permanent Secretary until a long-term plan is developed for Daisy Hill. I believe that plan can be made or can be delivered as early as January 2024. So I think it makes sense to hold off on this decision until the public see how it fits in to the overall picture of the transformation of our health service and the envisaged role Daisy Hill plays in that transformation. This is another example of the Trust not bringing people with them, as highlighted recently in an opinion piece in the Irish News by Deirdre Heenan. People need to know how this decision potentially fits with the long-term future of our local hospital. A fait accompli approach only feeds anxiety among patients and staff, and that is why I ask members to support this motion and ensure that we see the long-term plan is for Daisy Hill before decisions like a permanent removal of emergency general surgery are taken. And I ask members to support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
The motion will be supported, will be seconded by Councillor Derry Finn.
Councillor Finn, do you wish to comment?
No, happy to second. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Is everyone in agreement? Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, I'd just like to welcome the motion, obviously, and we fully support it. I think it's important in order to secure the future of Daisy Hill that we continue to campaign, be it on the streets or through the councils. But it's also important that we continue to give support to the Daisy Hill Future Group and the SOS Committee. And at the end of the day, it is going to require us, it is going to require the executive, you know, getting back up and running, where we can actually deal with this across the table properly with the health minister. So yeah, 100% we support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, very happy to support the motion. There's obviously a lot of strong disappointment within the community about the fact this decision has been taken. I think there was always a fear that there would be a predetermined outcome, despite the fact the consultation took place, and it was very clear from public meetings and public, you know, events that took place that was the strength of feeling on this was clear that people wanted to see this service retained, and you know, 94% that's a significant support for that facility. So the Trust obviously have felt, you know, they need to go another way, and that's very disappointing. And it should be a decision like this should be taken by ministers, and it's unfortunate that we have a situation where the Trust have already moved on from that. I think the big issue here is that we need to see a long-term strategic plan for Daisy Hill. And I know in recent meetings I've had with the Permanent Secretary and indeed with the Trust last Friday, that's something that I've been reiterating to them in any discussions that I've had. The staff there are obviously working in very challenging circumstances. The community are concerned about the hospital. They want to see that a long-term strategic plan for the hospital as well. And that's what we deserve and what we require. Obviously, an executive being in place will be important to delivering that as well. But we need that reassurance at all levels that Daisy Hill is going to remain a key component of the hospital network in Northern Ireland. So I hope that they will take on board what we will agree here tonight, and that they will pause the decision and wait for further discussion to take place and for decisions to be made at an executive level on that.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thank the Councillor for bringing it forward, and certainly understand the frustrations, which are the sort of the focal point of this motion, but might not be maybe as articulate just given the short notice, but certainly certainly concur with everything that's been said. And I suppose Rages, finally, it's about, you know, supporting the transformation of the health service. But again, as has been touched on again, I think it's whenever there's such a stasis at Stormont where we are. Again, this is another example where things can't be progressed and then things snowball and become greater. And it's a bit like the that Greek myth about the Greek god that rolls the stone up the top of the hill and he can't get to the top of the hill because it keeps on rolling down, which just feels like where we are with a lot of services at the minute. So I'm happy to support Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, we're just to say that we are happy to support and we're disappointed that it has got to this, but yeah, that we're in full agreement and I'm happy enough to support, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Savage, if you'd like to sum up.
Yes, Chair, just to thank the members for their unwavering support tonight. It's very important that we send a unified message to the Trust and in particular to the Permanent Secretary at the Department of Health. But I will reiterate some of the comments that are made that we really need to work hard to get our executive back up, and I hope over the coming weeks that that will happen, because big decisions like this need to be dealt with by local ministers, and the sooner we have them round the table and we get agreement, the better. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Is everyone in agreement?
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, and safe home.
Thanks.